We've got the battle beginning, Daniel.
Yes, it is, Brad. Tuesday, the special election for the Senate, Second District State Senate seat. One of two elections up in the State Senate on Tuesday. And joining us now is the Republican candidate. He's in the Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair, and that's Mike McDonald. Mike, officially welcome to Brad and Dan.
Thank you again. It's great to be here.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
The second district encompasses where?
It encompasses parts of Hartford, Bloomfield, and Windsor. So Windsor, basically all of Windsor except our Rainbow District, the north end of Hartford, and then pretty much Bloomfield from, say, the center over east. Mm-hmm. So it's a it's an interesting district, a lot of ground to cover, but we're covering it.
I mean, you have a history in politics, right? You've been on the town council in Windsor and the Board of Education.
Yes, I've served 10 years in elected office, four of which were on the Board of Education in Windsor and six on the town council. So I've been around, I've been in office, I've worked with legislation, I've worked with people across the aisle. So it's been a good years that I served in office, and I've enjoyed them. I've enjoyed giving back to my community.
And you know, it's not close. I mean, it's not even close in some areas, but some people are saying the Republicans can really win it over there on the Hill.
Absolutely. From being out and talking to people one-on-one, I mentioned before, I went to a grocery store and spent a number of days there because I was trying to raise the money for the CEP grant from the state of Connecticut, which I was able to get. And people are upset, and that's Democrats, Republicans, Independents. They want to change. They're upset with the governor's proposals. They're upset with taxes that continue to go up. We've had two tax increases. We're looking at a third. And, you know, in Windsor especially is going to get hit very hard, $7 million. And that's devastating to a town like Windsor, where I was born and raised, and like I said, I've served. So we have to stop it, and there are people behind me, and they're not only from the district we talked about, but also folks from all over the state. And that's why I keep saying to people that this district, like I said, Windsor, Bloomfield, and Hartford, have a real opportunity to change the course of Connecticut, because we can flip the Senate, and we can stop Governor Malloy's madness and these tax increases, and we can make him work with Republicans to put policies out there that are going to stop businesses from leaving, stop our kids from leaving. And here's the story. I have two kids, one of which is a freshman in college, and he's out in Missouri. My daughter is a junior at Windsor High School, and they've already said, you know, we might not come back. Well, my wife and I, that upsets us, as we really don't want to have a relationship with our future grandchildren by Skype.
Right.
But there's a lot of people feeling the same way. So I believe that's why I got into the race. I'm a blue-collar guy. I grew up in Windsor. I went to Windsor High School. I'm a graduate of the University of Connecticut. I stayed here, and I got involved in my community because I wanted to make it better. This is the next step. We need to make the state better. I don't want my kids to leave, and I know there are a lot of people out there, people I've spoken to, that they don't want their children to leave either.
Well, let's explain again for the audience why this is such an important election. And every election, I believe, is important, but special elections sometimes can carry more weight, and this is a classic example because the balance of power in the Senate could switch to the Republicans for the first time in 20 years if the Republicans hang on to the seat in the 32nd district election, and if they can flip this seat in the 2nd district, right?
Right, and that's where it comes down to. And I know everyone, elections are important, and every election we say this election is the most important election of your life. For the 2nd district, this is the most important election because it can change the whole landscape of what Connecticut is
of the
doing.
State.
Of
I mean, the focal
whole state.
Point of the entire
the state
is on the
right.
Second district.
And that's my message to Windsor, Bloomfield, and Hartford. Your vote counts on Tuesday. Your vote counts, and I'm asking for your vote. Vote for Mike McDonald, and I'm going to go to Hartford, roll my sleeves up, and get Connecticut moving in the right direction again.
Well, how do we do that? How do we turn around this state?
Well, first of all, I think we've seen the governor's proposals that have come out, and they are devastating to towns. They really are. And I think we have to do a number of things. One, we have to look at the revenue side. We have to look at the expense side. We need structural change. And the fact is, and I've talked to union folks, And I know the governor threw out this number of, you know, $700 million of union concessions. And the message that they're not against giving a little back, but the biggest complaint I get is, we've already done it, and you keep spending. Well, they keep spending, not me. But the legislature keeps spending, governor keeps spending. And so I think if we put in some policies that are actually going to stop the spending, and we can do that by, you know, consolidating some agencies, let's see what synergies there are and what can maybe nonprofits or private industry do, because let's face it, there are some things that private and nonprofits do a lot better than government.
Right.
So those are some things we looked at that we can look at. We can also look at, like I said, some pension reform. I mean, get rid of longevity pay. I've spoken to a number of union members. They're okay with that. You know, we might have to look at, you know, with that pension maybe raising from 2% to 4%. So those are some things that they're not, the people I've spoken to are not opposed to doing, as long as they're willing to do something, but we have to do it too. And that's, again, one of the things that I'm going to go and commit to in Hartford.
See, that part of it has not been mentioned. Right. That's you know, something, when the way you said that just now, that says something, and the unions sit down with you. I remember the governor over in New Britain.
The mayor of New Britain.
The mayor of New Britain. Right. She did the same thing.
Sat down with the unions.
Yeah. She did, and that's something, you know, and I've done. Like I said, I've spoken to people. I have members of my family that are in unions. And, again, it's not – they're willing to do it, but we have to do our part too. And so Hartford, Windsor, Bloomfield on Tuesday, I'm asking for the vote to go there and work for you, as well as the whole state of Connecticut.
Now, you've served, as we said, on the Board of Education in Windsor, so you have an idea of a lot of these unfunded mandates which come down from the state. Talk about how that bears on an education budget and on property taxes.
It's huge. I mean, we see these unfunded mandates, and, you know, it's something that has to stop. I believe that local government, local boards of ed should have control of their destiny, because let's face it, the fact is that, you know, Windsor is different than Greenwich. The demographics, they are different. And I think there's some things that we need to look at and push through. One of the things that I've been talking about is, you know, I mean, we want everyone to go to college. That's great. But some kids just don't want to go to college. And it's not that they can't go to college. They just don't want to.
Right.
And so we need to make available to them, there's other options. There's trade schools. There are other things out there, and I think we don't need to just focus on college. So those are the kind of opportunities that I think we need to talk about and make sure that kids know that they have them and they can achieve that way too, and it's okay.
You are the first one to be on the program to mention, everybody mentions college, college, college. I've talked to many, okay, that don't want to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And you know something? You look at a plumber's salary. You
yes.
look at, you look at
yes.
some of these salaries, people you can't get because they got so much work.
Right.
You know what they're making? It's unbelievable.
They're making a ton of money, and that's great, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I have a niece who... So she's in high school, and she actually goes to a tech school. And the decision was made because she really doesn't want to go to college. So she's learning a trade. She's learning how to fix cars. I have no idea how to fix a car. She does. I mean, she's doing oil changes. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. So, I mean, I'm waiting for just a little more experience. And then when I need an oil change, she's coming over, and she's going to do an oil change for me. So, I mean, those are the things I give a lot of credit to her parents for having that conversation with her. And, I mean, and even barring going out with college, and we have this conversation with our daughter who's starting to look at schools, and she knows she wants to go to college, but she's not sure what she wants to do. So community college is an option, and we've talked about it, and it's not a dirty word.
Right.
I mean, it's not. And you go, it's half, more than, it's a, half the price, more than that. It's affordable, and then she has 2 years where you have to do those courses anyway that you're paying, say, next to nothing for, and then you have 2 years to decide, you know, A, do I want to move on, Do I want to, with college, or do I want to do something different? So, you know, those are the conversations we're having in our house. And I just think that we should really foster those things and make sure that kids know they have other options. It's not just a one-dimensional push and you got to go to college.
That's tremendous.
That is tremendous.
I mean, look what he's got now. Yeah. Look what he's got.
Yeah.
He's got some of the unions he sat down with. He's talking about not everybody wants to go to college, and he's right. I mean, he's going to be a challenge.
Now, hold that thought. What do you think we do some traffic?
Various guests. And, you know, a Republican, somebody would say, he's a Republican. Let me tell you something. Republicans today are different than they used to be.
Well,
this is a good example.
We have Mike McDonald in studio running for the state senate in the special second district election on Tuesday. We're talking off mic about education, but if you want to go to college, it's expensive in this day and age, and it seems to be getting even more expensive, Mike.
Yes, it is. And, you know, there's other options, and we were talking. I'm working on my master's degree in religion and in leadership, and I'm doing it all online. And it is a
fraction. How is that anyway?
It's fantastic. I do it at my own pace. You know, with this campaign, I've been spending, you know, more of the 2 a.m.
Right.
doing my homework and taking exams. But you know, they lay it all out for you. You can jump ahead. But it's at your own pace. You do it when you can. And it's just been a phenomenal experience for me.
7:52, 8 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Michael McDonald, Republican candidate for Connecticut's 2nd District Senate seat. And evidently, from what we hear, he's out there all the time and doing quite well. This should be this should be quite an election this time, Dan.
It should be, Brad. Mike McDonald in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. Now, Mike, the election, of course, is on Tuesday. There's how many polling districts?
21. There's 21 polling places that will be open on Tuesday throughout the district.
So you've got a lot of campaigning to do between now and Tuesday.
I have a ton of campaigning to do, and I'll have a very busy day on Tuesday. But I'm going to run right through the finish line.
How do we handle the persistent deficits? I know you talked about the union concessions, but that you can't expect the unions to carry the entire load. So, well, how do we bring spending under control in Connecticut?
I think that goes to, we have to look at the state agencies also. And the fact is, and I mentioned it, that we have to look at what can be done outside of government, which will create jobs. Like I said, nonprofits, private business, they do a lot of things better than government. So that's a major thing. I think that can take some of the money away, and it puts it into the economy, will create jobs, and Connecticut will get back on track. We have to attract business here too, like we used to. And I believe, and the governor has just made it very difficult for businesses to survive in this state, and it's crippling. And if we don't change those things, Connecticut is going to get worse and worse and worse, and we'll have a mass exodus. And then when you start to see, like we've already seen, some of these companies leaving, that's not good. I mean, Windsor has done, and I'm proud to have been on the council when we have brought in some major companies into Windsor. That has absolutely helped the tax base, and the majority of our revenue comes from those businesses, which keeps our town taxes to the personal taxes down. Those are the things that we need to continue to do, and other towns need to do them. I don't think it's the state's responsibility. I think it's towns should decide, of course, how they want their community to be. Windsor's decide. We have a very, very nice balance in Windsor, and I'm proud to have been a part of making that happen. And voting for these companies like Amazon who have come in. We had the Hartford Worldwide Campus come in. I mean, Walgreens. There are a number of businesses that have come to Windsor, and they've been. And the other thing is they've been great corporate partners. I mean, they have been great. They've gotten themselves involved in the community. We have a Chili Fest, and we have other events throughout the year. Our Shad Derby is a big thing.
Big time.
It is. It's huge. And these corporate come in and they're creating jobs and allowing people to work, live, and play in a community. And those are the things that we need to foster and continue. And that will help that will help our economy, and that will help, I know, fix the deficits that we have.
One of the things that we hear about over at the state legislature from both sides of the aisle is that how we underwrite education and other municipal expenses with property taxes is outdated. We hear talk about regionalism. We hear talk about we've got to reform the property tax system or even do away with it. How do we handle those problems?
Well, I mean, I think we need to sit down and get through, go through all the issues. You brought up regionalization, and I'm actually not a big fan of it in terms of the state making requiring, you know, it's another, like, it's a unfunded mandate where we're not going to get any of the benefit from it. Towns should decide whether they should share services. To me, those are two different. Shared services and regionalization are two separate things. I believe in shared services. And you leave it up to towns, and yeah, you have a piece of equipment that you use a couple times a year in the town next door, you know, so Windsor Locks has a, let's share it. Why should we, you know, front the cost of hundreds of thousands of dollars for a piece of equipment we're only going to use a couple times a year when Windsor Locks can use it too? I think those are the things that we should focus on, but let the towns and communities decide. Do not mandate them to do it.
But does the state need to pitch in more for education to provide property tax relief? How do we go about that?
I mean, right now, I think, I mean, the system needs to be changed to a certain extent, but what the governor wants to do right now is basically throw it all onto the towns. I mean, we're going to lose, like I said, we're losing $7 million. We're losing about 51% of our ECS funding in Windsor, and
wow.
That is...
Is that in the current budget?
That's the current, yes.
Okay.
I mean,
so that doesn't count the one-third that he's being asked of the towns to underwrite for the teachers'
pension.
That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at a total of $7 million from Windsor that we're going to lose. And that is, like I said, devastating to the town. I mean, I sat in a meeting last night with a concerned group of Windsor people who are trying to come together right now and put a plan out in case these cuts happen. Because it's going to devastate our school system, and we can't allow that to happen. Like I said, my daughter's there, and there's a lot of other people I've spoken to with kids in the school.
What do your children want in order to stay here in Connecticut once they go on to college and then graduate? What would keep them here?
Opportunity and prosperity. I mean, I think that's what we all want. In the people that I've spoken to, again, Republicans, unaffiliated, and Democrats, all across the board, being out on the street, everybody wants prosperity and opportunity, not only for themselves, but for their families. And that's the main thing that I know that my kids want. They want to be able to come here and be able to raise a family and be able to have a home and put food on the table. All of those things that we're all dealing with, paying our bills, all of those things, they want to be able to do that here with the rest of their family. But when you make it, when you put a stranglehold, which the governor and the Democratic legislature has done over the last, the governor 6 years, and a Democratic legislature for many more, that's why we're in the mess we're in. And we need to stop that now. And on Tuesday, the voters of Windsor, Bloomfield, and Hartford can do that.
Michael McDonald, my friends, Republican candidate for Connecticut's 2nd District Senate seat, and this is what Dan and I are doing. You're going to meet them all, hopefully. And, Michael, I'll tell you, you have got some great ideas. There's no question about it. And somebody's going to say, well, he's not a true Republican. I think you are a true Republican. That is my feeling.
That's a Brad Davis prediction right there.
Well, I've been a Republican since I was a kid. You can ask my parents.
Michael, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
It.